Good morning, everyone. And I know Linda Nicolai, when she says 10 minutes, she's going to hold me to it. And I talk really fast, so I'm going to try to make sure she's got color-coded signs here. So I'm going to talk today about the origins of repeat infections with a well-known organism, Chlamydia trachomatis, and one that's sort of emerging that we're hearing more and more about, Mycoplasma genitalium, focusing in on heterosexual men. And many of my co-investigators are in the room, so thank you, everyone in the room. We're supposed to give you learning objectives, so I have three. The first one is to describe patterns of reinfection with these two organisms, specifically in this population, African-American men. Also identify the possible origins of these repeat infections and describe the strengths of combining behavioral data with genotyping data. The disclaimer is we don't have the genotyping data. We just started the study, so we don't have that yet, but Dr. Martin is working on it and doing a great job on that. So first of all, not all repeat infections. Repeat infections are largely misunderstood. Some people think that it's all reinfection from an original partner reinfecting you. Some people think it's all treatment failure. Really, there are three. You can break it down into three different types of origins. If it's and the type of origin of the infection is going to be important to understand, so that you know how to intervene. So if you have re-exposure, then expedited partner treatment is an important thing because you want to get the partner treated so that they don't get re-exposed. If it's a new partner, expedited partner treatment's not going to work. You'd have to rescreen so that you could capture that repeat infection and get that person treated again. If it's treatment failure, we need better medications. We did a pilot study off of our expedited partner treatment randomized trial, and of the 68 men that had chlamydia infections, we took behavioral information and attempted to reclassify them. What was surprising to us that 52% was re-exposure, and so half of the people would have been helped by using expedited partner treatment. 12% had a new partner, so rescreening actually is about the only thing that would work for them. And 36% in this population had what we thought was possibly treatment failure. So a little bit about the repeat infections in men. First of all, in a review article by Dunn et al., repeat infections with Chlamydia trachomatis are very common among men, in fact, 13%. A meta-analysis was conducted to look at azithromycin, which is our first line of treatment for chlamydia, since 1993. In this meta-analysis, they found that azithromycin one-time dose of 1 gram was equivalent to the 7-day dose of doxycycline, with success rates of up to 97%. Among men, however, these are studies were mostly done in women. Among men, however, other studies have demonstrated wider ranges of efficacy, ranging anywhere from 83% all the way up to 100%. Recent studies that have just been published have demonstrated the potential that there may be some treatment failure that is starting, particularly among men, for 1 gram of azithro for chlamydia trachomatis. Generally reported, a meta-analysis by Lau et al. Has determined that about 8% of treatment failure occurs in men. In that same study that I mentioned before, we found that the treatment failure rate was closer to 13%. And then in a multi-center study done by Schwebke et al., they found that 22.6% of the chlamydia infections had treatment failure with azithro. When they redid the analysis, taking into consideration behavioral information, it went down to about 12%. But the bottom line is that repeat infections are high. Now, Mycoplasma genitalium, less is known about this organism just because it's sort of come on the radar in the last decade or so, or decade and a half. Repeat infections with Mycoplasma genitalium among men treated with azithromycin are common, and that's also considered the first line of treatment. And these range from 13 to 33%, and if you look at Schwebke's article that just came out, actually Senya's article is 44%, so it may be even higher. There has been some evidence that Mycoplasma genitalium drug resistance to macrolides, it's raising concerns about the single-dose therapy for this organism. Limitations of these studies are many, however. First of all, most studies have been conducted on women, and we know far less about men. We also don't know about the optimal timing of testing of repeat, particularly with the NAT. Generally thought that about after 3 weeks that the organism should be cleared and the DNA should no longer be detectable, but we don't really know. actually, Kim Murkowski did a good study on that, so we might know about chlamydia, but in some of the studies, people are testing before that, and so they may be getting false positives. Most studies either rely on self-reported behavior or do not even take into consideration behavior at all, and so that's a problem. You don't know if they may engage in sex again with an original partner, but if it's protected sex, then it may not really be an opportunity for transmission. And then many studies have been limited by the low follow-up rates. It's very difficult to work with men, and that's why a lot of people don't want to, because follow-up rates are tough. They're just a tougher crowd than women. In the STD world, I don't know. Objective. So we want to determine the origins of repeat infections with chlamydia, trachomatis, and mycoplasma genitalia to better target treatment options. We did a pilot study, and it's still ongoing, in two urban STD clinics, one in New Orleans, Louisiana, and one in Jackson, Mississippi. We started in January of 2011, and we're ongoing in this. As long as the money continues, we'll keep going. Inclusion for screening, men with non-gonococcal urethritis, and that was determined by five or more white blood cells per high-power field, or if they were symptomatic. They could also have been a named partner of a chlamydia-infected woman or a man who was screened positive for chlamydia. So there are men that just come in for a well checkup at the STD clinics, and if they screen positive, we included them as well. Also, they had to be 18 years of age or greater. They had to have had sex with at least one woman in the prior 2 months, and that's because we are interested in the effects of these organisms on the female reproductive health. So we wanted to make sure that they were heterosexuals or they had sex with women. All men were treated with single doses of azithromycin at baseline, and then we brought them back at 4 to 10 weeks for a test of cure or repeat testing. And the participants were interviewed using computer-assisted self-administered interviews to elicit specific information about each partner and also about sexual exposure, about whether they took medicine or whether their partner took medicine. For all the chlamydia tests were detected using GenProbe Aptima Combo 2, and the mycoplasma genitalium was also, we used GenProbe, but it was a research-only assay that was done in Dr. Martin's lab. Specimens were generally urethral swabs for baseline and exclusively urine specimens for follow-up. Specimens of those with repeat infections were stored for future genotype testing, so that's what Dr. Martin's going to be doing as soon as we get enough specimens. So we screened 754 men, 34 were ineligible because either we subsequently found out that they had gonorrhea or we found out that they were MSM or for any of the other reasons that we would exclude them. 380, so of those people that were screened, 32.5 had chlamydia, 14.7 had mycoplasma genitalium, 5.7 had both chlamydia, gonorrhea, and chlamydia and mycoplasma, and 47 had no organism. That allowed us, so people who didn't have organism, we thanked them and they no longer needed to be followed because we were looking for repeat infections. So we followed the 381, there's 35 that are still in the window. So I'm going to talk about the 204. We had a 59% follow-up rate, so that's about on par. We're working on methods to make it a little bit higher. So a little bit about those 346. We had 20. The mean age was 25. They were almost exclusively African American. Most of them had a high school education. A few had, 14% did not have a high school education. They almost all used their cell phone. Had a cell phone, and that was important because we were going to use cell phone technology to make sure we followed them. 59%, almost 60% were symptomatic at baseline. 49% used marijuana in the last 30 days, and many of them were using it on a daily basis. Binge drinking in the last 30 days was 30%, and 48.8% of them had two or more sex partners. So you can see the profile is a very high-risk group. Now, we did have a high follow-up rate or loss to follow-up rate, so we wanted to see if there are any differences between those who were followed and those who were not followed. Are you showing this to me already? No.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
okay. So I'll go a little bit faster. I usually do it too fast. So the only difference that we found of all the factors that we looked at was the group that was not followed tended to be a little bit younger. And so we know that maybe we underestimated a little bit of our follow-up rate because those are obviously the ones that are higher risk for getting a repeat infection. What we found is the chlamydia of 223 chlamydia positives at baseline. There are also 33 that had both. We found a 4.9% repeat infection rate. If you look at the confidence bounds, it goes from 1.4 to 8.4, which was lower than what we anticipated, much lower. The mycoplasma genitalium, we had 98 plus the 33 that had also were co-infected with chlamydia. And of that, we found a 36.5% infection rate with a 26.2 to 46.7 confidence bound. So they were, it was about on par with what we thought, maybe a little bit higher than what we thought. So what kind of behaviors did they engage in? 66.2% of the whole follow-up group reinitiated sex. 38.2% of them had unprotected sex. 28.4% were re-exposed to a baseline partner only. 5.4% were exposed to a new partner only, and 4.4% were exposed to both an original partner and a new partner. Sexual exposure for those with repeat organisms. So of the seven that we had that had chlamydia at baseline and had chlamydia at follow-up, all of them reinitiated sex. 4.7 of them had re-exposure to baseline partners only, and 7% were exposed to a new partner. One out of seven, or 14.3%, were exposed to both baseline and new partners. So that's a little harder to determine the origin of that. And 2 out of 7 had no sexual re-exposure. Of the 31 mycoplasma genitalium infected persons, 48% reinitiated sex. 5 out of 31 were exposed to a baseline partner only. 1 out of 31 were exposed to a new partner, and none of them were exposed to both. So the re-exposure rate, so no sexual exposure was 80%. I'm getting kicked out. I just want to say the next steps are that what we want to do is to continue to enroll to achieve the power that we initially wanted. We need to enroll many, many more people to get a better gauge. We're improving. We're doing motivational videos, and we're playing around with. We don't know. Should we have cute girl? Should we have Scott, who's enrolling them? Should we have? So we're going to work with some health educators to help us with the motivational video, and we're also improving the quality of our behavioral data by adding on web-based sexual diaries. So we're using REDCap and we're using Mirror technology to send them a text message and ask them to engage in filling out these sexual diaries. So we don't know for sure if it'll work, but in a little bit of pilot testing, it seems like it might be feasible. In conclusion, and I've gone over so you can swipe out of my questions, preliminary data from our ongoing study suggests a high rate of azithromycin treatment failure for mycoplasma genitalium, but unlike others, what others have found so far, and we need to continue on with the study, we've found a low rate of chlamydia. We're going to be engaging in genotyping to use an algorithm of behavioral data plus the genotyping to be able to better discern and categorize where these repeat infections are coming from, and so that's our next step. I want to thank NIAID for funding us with this and this pilot study, also the people at the various clinics, and Dr. Deborah Dean, who's helping, who's working with Dave Martin on the genotyping. Thank you very much. Sorry I went over.
No problem. Thanks, Patty.
Right? Questions?